Broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Om Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Sri Guru Bhyo Namaha Harihi Om. So in the previous webinar, we were discussing the Panchakoshas, the five sheets. And having discussed that, we also proceeded to discuss about the Panchakoshatitaha, the Atma. And after talking about the Atma, we also went into the creation, Srishti Vicharaha. So let us read what was taught earlier in the previous webinar. Panchakoshas. Panchakoshakhe. Annamaya, pranamaya, manomaya, vijnanamaya, anandamaya, scheti, annamaya kaha, annarasenaiva bhutva, annarasenaiva vriddhim prapya, annarupa prithivyam yadvili yate, tad annamaya koshaha, sthula shariram, pranamaya kaha, pranadhyaha, panchavayavaha, vagadi indriya panchakam, pranamaya koshaha, manomaya koshaha kaha, manascha jnanendriya panchakam militva, bhavati sa manomaya koshaha, vijnanamaya kaha, buddhi jnanendriya panchakam militva, yo bhavati sa vijnanamaya koshaha, anandamaya kaha, eva meva, karna sharira bhuta, adi vidyastala malina sattvam, Priyadi vritta sagitam sat anandamaya koshaha etat kosha panchakam. So that dealt with the five different koshas. And then the panchakoshatitaha atma, madiyam shariram, madiya pranaha, madiyam manascha, madiya buddhihi, madiyam jnanamiti, sveneva jnayate, tadyatam, madiyatvena jnanam, Kataka kundala grihadikam swasmad binnam tata panchakoshadikam swasmad binnam mahiyat madiyatvena jnatam atma na bhavati. Then about atman, atma tarhikaha sachidananda swarupaha satkhim kalatrayepi tishtati iti sat chitkhim jnanaswarupaha anandakaha Sukhaswarupaha, evam sachidananda swarupam, swatmanam vijaniyat. Then we went into the creation, the srishti, atha chaturvimshati tattva utpatti prakaram vakshyamaha, brahmashraya sattva rajas tamo gunatmika maya asti, tatha akashasham bhutaha, Akashad vayuhu, vayos tejaha, tejasa apaha, adhya prithivi. So we did up to here and started to talk about the creation, the srishti vicharaha. How from the Brahma Mayan, Brahman Maya couple, the srishti came about. And how Maya is endowed with all the three gunas, the sattva guna, rajo guna, tamo guna. And how each one of these elements, the akasha, vayuhum, agnihi, and water, and earth, they all evolved. And how each one of them have different gunas. Akasha is endowed with sound, the air endowed with touch, fire in the form, and water taste, and earth smell. Now we will proceed with the evolution of the sattvic aspect. And now, because Maya is endowed with all the three gunas, when the various elements, the fire, water, akasha, earth, all those things when they evolve, each one also will be endowed with the three gunas of Maya. So you will have, when you take akasha, you will not only just have akasha, it will be sattvic akasha, it will be rajasic akasha and also tamasic akasha. In the same way, if you take Vayu also, it will be Sattvic Vayu, Tamasic Vayu, Rajasic Vayu. For each one, we will have all the three attributes, all the three gunas also. So now let us see the evolution of the Sattvic aspect. Yetesham panchatattvana madhye akashasya sattvikamshat shrotrendriyam sambhutam vayoho sattvikamshat twagindriyam sambhutam agne sattvikamshat chakshurindriyam sambhutam jalasya sattvikamshat rasanendriyam sambhutam prithivya sattvikamshat granendriyam sambhutam. So how each one of the sense organs, they all evolve. Since all the five elements are born out of Maya, which has the three gunas, as we said earlier, they should also have the three gunas, because the properties of the cause, the karanam, should pervade the effect, the karyam. So within the subtle space itself, we have Sattvika Akasha, Rajasika Akasha, and Tamasika Akasha. As we told earlier, first in the Srishti Kramam, what first evolves is only the subtle aspects. The subtle aspects are the five elements. And later, they have to go through a process called grassification to become grassified five elements, from which only this grass body and this grass prapancha both have come. So now we talk about the sense organs, how they have come. Yetesham panchatattvana madhye akashasya sattvikamshate shrotrindriyam sambhutam. From among these five elements, yetesham panchatattvana madhye, among these five elements, from the sattvic aspect of akasha, akashasya sattvikamshat, from the sattvic aspect of akasha, the organ of hearing, shrotrendriyam, the organ of hearing, the ear evolved. Vayoho sattvikamshate twagindriyam sambhutam. From the sattvic aspect of vayu, the organ of touch, that is the skin, twagindriyam, that evolved. Agnehe sattvikamshate chakshundriyam sambhutam. From the sattvic aspect of fire, agni, the organ of sight that evolved. Jalasya, organ of sight, namely the eye. Jalasya sattvikamshat rasanendriyam sambhutam. From the sattvic aspect of water, the organ of taste, namely the tongue, evolved. Prithivya sattvikamshat pranendriyam sambhutam, granendriyam sambhutam. From the sattvic aspect of earth, the organ of smell, the nose, that evolved. And we should understand, they are all in subtle form. They are not in grass form yet. So the five sense organs, they evolved from the sattvic aspect, the sattva aspect of the five elements. And every element has an essential property, as we saw earlier, guna. For example, water. Water has taste. And the corresponding sense organ evolved from it, namely the tongue, in this example. Similarly, the property of fire is form, and the organ of perception of form is the eye, which evolved from it, and so on. So this is how the sense organs, they all started to evolve from the sattvic aspect of these five elements in the subtle form. And in addition to that, there is also the four inner equipments, namely the antakkaranas, yetesham panchatattvanam samashti sattvikamshat mano buddhi ahankara chitta antakkaranani sambhutani. From the total sattvic aspect, the samashti, the previous things, each individual organs, the ear, the smell, all those things, they all came about by the vyashti, the individual sattvic aspect of the five elements. Now from the total sattvic aspect of all the five elements together, the antakarana. Antakarana means the inner equipments comprising of what? The manas, the buddhi. In addition to these two already we have seen when we talked about the 17 sukshma shariras. At that time we listed 5 jnanendriyas, sense organs, 5 karmendriyas, 5 organs of action, pancha pranadayaha, 5 different pranas, manas and buddhi. that 17 we listed earlier. Now we are adding two more called Chitta and Ahankara. So we are going to discuss each one of them separately. So two more parts are added to the list of subtle bodies, the Sukshma Shariram mentioned earlier, which are Ahankara and Chitta. So thus making a total of 19. So that means 19 parts have to be created from the subtle elements, out of which 5 organs of perception and 4 inner equipment are created out of the sattvic aspect. Since the sense organs and the inner instruments, the antarkaranas, since the sense organs and they both are related to knowledge, the sense organs are related to the organs of perception, related to knowledge, and the antakaranas, namely mind, buddhi, chitta and ahankara, also related to knowledge. So they all evolve from the sattvic aspect. So if you want to summarize, the sattva aspect is responsible for the creation of the jnanendriyas and the antakaranas, namely the inner equipments. So all these 5 jnanendriyas and 4 inner equipments, all 9 evolved from the sattvic aspect. So of the sense organs, of the 5 elements, they all evolve from the sattvic aspect of the 5 elements. Now we have to go and see how the different antakaranas for each one of them, how those things have evolved. Yetesham panchatattvanam samashti sattvikamshat mano buddhi ahankara chittantakaranani sambhutani. Then we have to understand each one of them. What is manas, what is buddhi, what is chitta, and what is ahankara. And the author defines each one of them. About manas, about the mind, he says, sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. Mind is of the nature of indecision, oscillation, whether to do or not to do. So mind is always of the form of, or in the form of oscillation only. It doesn't make a firm decision. So sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. It is always sankalpa and vikalpa. Do it or not to do it. Positive or negative, opposite. So this is the nature of mind. Then about buddhi, nischayatmika buddhihi. Atmika means of the nature of. Nischayatmika means of the nature of decision. It is of the nature, it is the one and the same equipment. Mind and buddhi, intellect, they both are the same inner equipment only. When that equipment functions in the domain of vacillation, indecision, then it is called mind. And when the same equipment functions with assertion, with a determination, with a firm resolve, then that is called the intellect or buddhi. So doubting is manas and assertion is buddhi. Then ahankarta ahankaraha. Ahankarta, here ego, ahankara refers to ego. I am the doer, idea. For everything, I am the doer. I am the person, I am the doing one who does that. So that subjective thought about oneself, that is ahankara. So it is also in the name of pride for a person, ego, pride, the I notion. So they are all called ahankara. And chintanakrita is chittam. Chintanakrita, the one who does the thinking, the one who judges, the one who evaluates. Actually, it is not just the thinking part here, because for anybody to judge anything, then what is most important is the remembrance of any past knowledge. If past knowledge, a person who has got lot of memory over past knowledge and past situations will be able to judge things much better. So he should have the ability to remember past knowledge and experiences. Maximum experience, that means the person can judge better. So recollection of past knowledge and past experiences, so that helps the person to decide. So that is chintanakrita chittam. So actually for each one of these inner equipments, the author, not only he defines what they are, he also talks about the devatas. You know, if you remember, we talked about the devatas for each one of those sense organs and so many organs of action and all. Similarly, here also, the author talks about devatas for each one of these inner equipments. Manaso devata chandramaha. the presiding deity for the mind, the faculty of mind, is moon. Moon is, that is the total power. It is not just only, not the physical power. It is the power of, you know, for the mind. The mind. And that is why actually moon, we normally refer to moon as lunar. So when a person's mind is not working, we call him a lunatic. Because the presiding deity of mind is moon. And Buddhehe Brahma. Brahma is the presiding deity of intellect. Here Brahma means the creator, Chaturmukha Brahma, and not Sachidananda Atma, that Brahman. This is Brahma. Then Ahankarascha Rudraha. For Ahankara, the ego, the presiding deity is Rudra. Rudra is also destroyer. And Ahankara also will destroy a person. Ego will also destroy a person. Rudra also is a destroyer. Rodayati iti Rudraha. Rud means to cry. So that is Rudra, and the presiding deity for Ahankara is Rudra, and Chittasya Vasudevaha. For Chitta, Vishnu is the presiding deity for memory, remembrance, Chitta, the functions of Chitta. So whatever heard used to be sustained, that Dharana Shakti a person has to have. Only when the Dharana Shakti is here, is there, the whatever one hears or one learns will be useful to that person. So for that, the Devata is Vasudeva. So all these 19 parts of the Sukshma Shariram, they are all now discussed, and how the evolution came about, that is already told. But they are all in the Sukshma form, we should understand. So this is Sukshma form for the individual, and as we told earlier, when the Sukshma form of the individual comes, the Sukshma Prapancha also evolves in the same manner. So when this evolves, that also evolves in the same manner. It is not talked separately here, but we should understand that also the Sukshma Prapancha also evolves the same manner. With this, the Sukshma Shariram Utpatti, the creation of the Sukshma aspect, the Sukshma, the subtle body, that is over. And Karana Sharira Utpatti, we did not do because it is anadi. We cannot talk about the Utpatti of Karana Sharira, as we told earlier itself, because Karana Sharira is supposed to be anadi. So, Stula Sharira Utpatti, that is to be talked in next. Before that, the author talks about the Utpatti, the creation of all the organs of action. So, we talked so far about the sense organs, the organs of perception, and also the four inner equipments, namely the Antakaranas. Now, having talked about Antakaranas, the presiding deity for each one of them and the definition for each one of them were also given. Now the author is going to talk about the organs of action. And they come about by the through the evolution of the rajasic aspect. As the five sense organs and five Antakaranas, they came by the evolution of the sattvic aspect of Maya. Now we are going to talk about the rajasic aspect, the evolution of the rajasic aspect. Yetesham panchatattvana madhye akashasya rajasamshat vagindriyam sambhutam. Vayoho rajasamshat panindriyam sambhutam. Buddhehe satvikam rajasamshat shat patendriyam sambhutam. Jalasya rajasamshat gudendriyam sambhutam. Prithivya rajasamshat upastendriyam sambhutam. Yetesham samashti rajasamshat panchapranaha sambhutaha. So that is what the author says. So from the rajasic aspect, then the subtle akasha, from the rajasic aspect of the subtle akasha, from the sattvic aspect of the subtle akasha, we already went through that discussion earlier. Now from the rajasic aspect of the subtle akasha, space, what came about is vak. Speech, it came about. And from the subtle aspect of Vayu, subtle aspect of Vayu, Pani means the hands, they came about. Subtle aspect, the Pani, the hands came about. And Vannehe Rajasamsatam Padendriyam Sambhutam. From the Rajasic aspect of Agni, the legs evolved. And Jalasya Rajasamshatam Upasthendriyam Sambhutam. From the Rajasic aspect of water, jalasya. The genitals have evolved. Upasthendriya means the genitals. Prithivyaha rajasamshat gudendriyam sambhutam. From the rajasic aspect of earth, the excretory organs evolved. So this talks about the evolution of the rajas aspect. That is the second aspect of maya. Maya is trigunatmika, we already saw it earlier. The second aspect is rajas. And it also appears in the five elements and consequently in the universe also. So from the rajogunas, actually rajoguna is responsible for the agility, activity, action of a person. So from that aspect of the five basic elements, the karmendriyas, the organs of actions like speech, that is from the space, speech this from the space, hands from air, legs through, you know, locomotion and all through fire, and genitals through water, and the excretory organs through earth. They all evolved. And from the total, the samashti rajasic aspect of the five elements, the pancha pranas, the five different pranas, they evolved. So samashti sattvikamshat. So from the samashti of all the rajasamshat, from the samashti rajasic quality, all the five pranas, they evolved. Etesham samashti sattvikamshat, rajasamshat, pancha pranaha sambhutaha. So that's what it is saying. So from the total rajasic aspect of these five elements. So from the individual rajasic aspect, each one of the things like the speech, hands, legs, genitals, and you know, the excretory organs, they all evolve. But from the total rajasic aspect, then what if all the five vital airs, prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, all these things, they evolved. And I have already told earlier that all these five different pranas, they are responsible for five different physiological functions in everybody. So that's what they evolved from the total rajasic aspect of maya. So from the sattvic and rajasic aspect of the five elements, now we have seen evolved the sukshma sharira and the sukshma prapancha, both have evolved. So we already saw the evolution of five jnanendriyas, four antakaranas, and five organs of action, and pancha pranadayaka, all five pranas. So these 19 and five elements, all the 24 we have already seen. We already saw earlier the 24 tattvas, and all these 24, they have been evolved. So this would conclude the discussion of the creation of the subtle aspects of the body and the universe. You should understand, we have only created the subtle aspect. Now we have to go through with the discussion of the gross aspect, because what we see, what we feel and what we perceive is only the gross aspect. We don't see subtle akasha, we don't see subtle vayu, we don't see subtle agni or any of those. We cannot experience them. But what we are really experiencing is only the gross aspect of all these things. And for this, but from the Brahman Maya coupled, only the subtle elements evolve first. And from them, they have to go through a process called grossification. It is called Panchikaranam. We have already seen that term earlier. So through this process called Panchikaranam, these five subtle elements, they have to become gross elements. And that is going to be through a totally different exercise. And that exercise comprises of the combination of all these five elements to form the gross elements. So the evolution of the tamas aspect, because we already saw the evolution of the sattvic aspect, we already saw the evolution of the rajasic aspect, but the evolution of the tamas aspect, namely ignorance, inertness, that is explained by a process known by this Panchikaranam, which can be briefly described here as follows. We can talk it as this. This is the way the five basic subtler elements become grosser elements and make up the gross body, the sthula shariram, as well as the sthula prapancha, the gross world. That is very important, because from the Brahman Maya coupled, what comes first is only the sukshma form, the subtle form. And that has to become gross form, the way that we feel, the way that we experience. So, yetesham panchatattvanam tamasamshat panchikrita panchatattvani bhavanti. So, from all these, from the tamas aspect tamasamsha, from the tamas aspect of these five subtle elements which evolved first, the grassified five elements get formed. Etesham panchatattvanam tamasamshat panchikritam panchatattvani bhavanti. So panchikaranam katam iti chet, then if you ask the question, what is grassification? What is panchikaranam? If you ask the question, because we have to understand that, if you have to understand this evolution process. So if you ask what is panchikaranam, if you ask that question, panchikaranam katam iti chet, how panchikaranam happens, if you ask that question, yetesham pancha mahabhutanam tamasham sat swarupam ekam ekam bhutam dvidha vibhajya. This is a little imaginative, and we have to understand that a little with some imagination, creativity here. What it says is, the tamas aspect of each of the five basic elements. So from the sattvic aspect, we saw what happened already, five jnanendriyas and four inner equipments, antakaranas evolved. From the rajasic aspect of maya, we already saw the five karmendriyas and panchapranas, all the ten, they evolved. Now, from the tamasamsha, from the tamasic aspect, what happens now? That's what he is now telling. The tamas aspect of each of the five basic elements, what it does first, it divides into two equal parts. So the tamas aspect of maya, that means the tamas part of the tamas akasha, tamas part of akasha, that divides into two equal parts. So two equal tamasic akasha, it divides into two first. And having done that, ekam ekam ardham prithak tushnim vyavasthapya. One half of each remains. Having divided into two halves, one half of that, it remains intact. So first, the tamasic aspect of each one of the elements, for example, akasha, vayu, agni, all that. So they divide into two equal parts. And one of the two parts, that remains intact. And the other one, aparam aparam ardham chaturdha vibhajya. What happens? The other half of each, that gets divided into four equal parts further. So the first one becomes two, and in that two, one half remains. The other half divides further into four equal parts. That means what? Each one will be one-eighth of the original. So we have one half and four one-eighth of the original. Again, we'll make it into one, right? All together. And having made that, swardham anyeshu ardeshu swabhaga chatushtaya sanyojanam karyam. To the intact half of each element, so from each tamasic aspect, again, we have to keep on remembering ourselves, divided into two equal half, one half remains intact, other half became four equal parts. This is going to happen for each one of these elements. For akasha, there is going to be one half and plus one-eighth. And also for air, one half plus four one-eighth. It is going to be there like that. So now, to the intact half of each element, a one-eighth portion from each of the other four elements that gets joined. Right? Tada panchikaranam bhavati. That is called, once this happens, this is called panchikarana. For example, now if you want to take each one of these elements, for example, we can take space. Then the subtle space, but the tamasic aspect of the subtle space, this tamasic aspect of the subtle space, we should be a little closely following what we are trying to tell. The tamasic aspect of the subtle space first divides into two halves. And the one half remains intact. The other half of subtle space became four one-eighths. The same thing happened with the subtle air, the subtle fire, the tamasic aspect of subtle air, the tamasic aspect of subtle fire, tamasic aspect of subtle water, and the tamasic component of subtle earth. For each one of them, the same thing happens. And two, for example, if you take now for the grassification of the space to the half part of the subtle space which was originally divided, the 1/8 component from subtle air, the tamasic aspect of subtle air, 1/8 part of the tamasic aspect of subtle fire, 1/8 part of the tamasic aspect of subtle water, and 1/8 part of the tamasic aspect of subtle earth, they get added. So the original subtle space, which was pure subtle space, now to that, the subtle components of the air, the fire, the water, and the earth, in equal proportions of 1/8, they get added, they get joined. And when they join like this, the subtle space that we originally had, the tamasic aspect of subtle space, that becomes grass space. So that process is called grassification. So the same way, if you take subtle air, for 1/2 of subtle air, the tamasic aspect of subtle air is added, 1/8 of subtle space, 1/8 of subtle fire, 1/8 of subtle water, and 1/8 of subtle earth. And if we take, that is for grassification of satvayu, air. And if we take subtle fire, the grassification of fire now, 1/2 of subtle fire, to which is added 1/8 of subtle space, 1/8 of subtle air, 1/8 of subtle water, and 1/8 of subtle earth. That makes the grassified fire, Agni. And again, for to grassify water, for 1/2 of subtle water, we add 1/8 of subtle space, 1/8 of subtle fire, 1/8 of subtle air, and 1/8 of subtle earth. That becomes grassified water. And again, to grassify earth, for 1/2 of subtle earth, we add 1/8 of subtle space, 1/8 of subtle fire, 1/8 of subtle water, and 1/8 of subtle air. That becomes the grassified earth. That means what? Every grass element is a mixture of all five, as every subtle element contains only that element. So the subtle element contains only that element, but the grassified element is the mixture of all the five. So the subtle element is called tanmatra. That is a technical term for the subtle element that is called tanmatra. So even though each of the grass elements is a mixture of five, they are named after the element that is predominant. For example, if you take grass space, even though it is a mixture of all the five, but 1/2 of that grass space is made up of the subtle space, whereas the other four, they are only 1/8 each. And because 1/2 is the most predominant compared to the other four, it is called still grass space, even though it is not pure space anymore. The space that we experience and feel, the space that we experience, the air that we experience, the earth that we experience, none of them are just earth, are just space. They are not, none of them are in that pure form. They are all only mixtures of all the five elements. That is what we see and we perceive. So the grass air, for example, consists of the grassification of the tamas aspects of 1/2 air, 1/8 each of space, five, fire, water, and earth. So it is still called grass air because the that 1/2 air, that is the most predominant component. So etebhyaha panchikritam panchamahabhutebhyaha sthula shariram bhavati. So from these five grassified elements, the grass body gets formed. So when we say the grass body gets formed, the grass universe also, pancha prapancha, the sthula prapancha, that also is getting formed. So now if you really understand the sequence of events, from the Brahman Maya coupled, we have got, because Maya is endowed with the Trigunatmika, all the three gunas, so each one of these elements, they evolved. And because of the three gunas of the Maya, each one of them is endowed with also with the three gunas, and with the sattvic aspect of each one of them, of the each one of the elements, the subtler component of each one of them first evolved, and the subtler component of each one of them went through a process called the grassification, which ended up in having the grass elements. And from these grass elements, or the five grass elements, the grass body that we feel and experience, that evolved. So that is how the Srishti, the creation topic, has been proceeding. So for the first, for the subtle component evolved, subtle component went through a process of grassification, and that grassification gave rise to the sthula shariram, the grass body, and also the grass prapancha, the grass universe. As we told earlier, as the grassification is happening at the individual level, it is also happening at the total level. So the five grassified elements and their combinations are responsible for the formation of the grass body and the grass objective world that we feel and experience. So evam pinda brahmandayoho aikyam sambhutam. That is what the author concludes. That is the identity, aikyam, between the pindanda. Pindanda means the microcosm, and the brahmanda, the macrocosm. From the brahmanda, microcosm, and the pindanda and the brahmanda, that is this aikyam. That means the sukshma shariram. Sukshma shariram means what? The individual, at the individual level, the subtle body, and the sukshma prapancha. Sukshma prapancha is what? The samashti level, the total level, what they have in common. They have the same basic elements in nature. The sukshma, the individual vashti and the samashti, the individual and the total, they have the same five elements in nature. Also, the sthula shariram of the individual or the vashti and the sthula prapancha, the total, have the same raw material also, namely the five elements. So at the sukshma form also, they have all the combination of all the five elements. At the sthula form also, the combination of all the five elements. So the five grass elements are the effect of, effect means the karyam. The five grass elements are the effect from the Brahman Maya couple. That is a karyam of the Brahman Maya couple. And actually, the author concludes here by saying that in creation, the individual pinda, pinda means the microcosm, the individual pinda and the total, the brahmanda, the prapancha, the macrocosm, are identical in terms of their material nature. Both of them are made up of the five elements. So both of material, both are material in nature, and both are identical in terms of their material nature, and neither of these is part of Brahman. That is what we should understand. Both are only inert matter, and none of them are the Brahman, which is the fundamental substance from which the entire universe is made. Brahmashraya, we already saw that earlier. So from that Brahman, the entire thing is made, and these things are fundamentally only inert matter. So everything sentient and insentient is made by Brahman only. Everything sentient and insentient made by Brahman only. Through the attainment of knowledge, one will be able to experience the presence of Brahman everywhere and will be able to see the identity between the individual and the universe, or the microcosm and macrocosm, if you want to put it differently. Through knowledge, one will be able to see the identity between these two. And this would now then conclude the discussion on the Srishti Prakaranam, namely the creation. And now we have to go ahead. Once the Srishti part of it is concluded, then we have to go to the Jiva and Ishvara Aikyam, the oneness of the Jiva and Ishvara. We already went through the Jiva Vicharaha. We already went through the inquiry of the individual already. We went through this Ishvara. Now we also have seen Srishti. Now the next topic the author is going to take up is the Aikyam, the identity, oneness between the Jiva and Ishvara. Analysis of the identity between Ishvara and the Jiva, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. And actually, this is the central topic in Tattva Bodha. The Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, that is actually the central topic, and that conveys the knowledge of the self. The crux of Vedanta is the knowledge of the self, and that alone is conveyed through the Jiva Ishwara Aikyam. And the author, he actually brings out the definitions of Ishwara and the Jiva and the lists the differences from them first. So in the analysis, before he would go and point out the identity between the Jiva and the Ishwara, Jivatma and Paramatma, that is Advaita. So before, that's Vedanta. So before he would point out the identity between them, he tries to define first the list the differences, the Jiva and Ishwara, and also he defines the list the differences. Sthula Sharira Abhimani Jivanamakam Brahma Pratibimbam Bhavati. That's what the Acharya says. Sthula Sharira Abhimani Jivanamakam Brahma Pratibimbam Bhavati. The reflection, the Pratibimbam of Chaitanyam, which identifies itself with the grass body, is called the Jiva. So that author is now trying to go through the definition of what Jiva is and what Ishwara is before he would give the identity. So Sthula Sharira Abhimani, Sthula Sharira Abhimani Jiva Namakam Brahma Pratibimbam Bhavati. So from the total and then let us read the full thing here. Sa eva jivaha prakritya swasmat ishwaram binnatvena janati. Then avidyopadisan atma jiva iti uchyate. Mayopadisan ishwaraha iti uchyate. So that is what they are the definitions. So the author is now trying to give the definitions for all of them. So earlier we have explained that on the Srishti Prakaranam, on the inquiry, on the analysis of Srishti, Srishti Vichara creation, that Ishwara is a combination of Brahma, the Brahman, the pure consciousness, and Maya. We already told Brahman Maya coupled. So Ishwara is the combination of Brahman, the pure consciousness, and Maya. And we also said Maya is responsible for the creation of the total universe of all bodies and beings. So everything in creation, that is all the creation from the Maya. It's responsible for the creation of the entire thing, the sthula and the sukshma shariras, all of them. And we have also seen that the cause for these two shariras, the sthula sharira and sukshma sharira, is what? The karana shariram, the causal body. We already told earlier, sharira dvayasya karana matram. The causal body is the cause for the two shariras, the sthula shariram and sukshma shariram, the causal body. Then what would be the question? Which is the actual cause, the causal body or Maya? That would be the question. Because we already said Maya is responsible for this, both the sthula shariram and sukshma shariram and all the bodies. But we also defined earlier that karana shariram is the cause for the sukshma shariram and sthula shariram. Then between these two, which is the actual cause, the causal body or Maya? And we also know that karana shariram is part of Maya only. That also we have seen earlier. Karana shariram also is part of Maya. So that part of Maya from which the sthula sukshma shariras are formed is known as causal body. So that part of Maya from which the grass body and subtle body are formed, that part of Maya is called the karana sharira, which is given actually a technical name here as avidya. So this causal body is given here. So that aspect of Maya, again we have to be a little bit closer in terms of how we relate to each one of them. That aspect of Maya which gave rise to the two bodies, namely the grass body and subtle body, that is called causal body, which is given a technical name here as avidya, which is anadi as Maya. Maya is anadi, this also is anadi as Maya. So Jiva is an individual who identifies himself or herself with the grass body. And Jiva is the person who identifies herself or herself with the grass body. So this type of identification is also natural for the individual as Maya is Anadi. Maya is of actually three attributes. We already saw Maya is Trigunatmika in nature, Sattva, Rajas and Tamas. So the Sattva Guna, it can be pure, meaning unsullied by Rajas and Tamas. Or it can be impure, it can be Malina Sattvam. We already saw that term also earlier, Malina Sattvam, which has some control by the Rajas aspect and Tamas aspects. So if it is in pure form, it is pure Sattvam, or it could be Malina Sattvam when it is corrupted by Rajas and Tamas aspect. So it is said actually that Sattva Guna used in creation is only Malina Sattvam. The Sattva Guna that is used in creation is not pure Sattvam, it is Malina Sattvam only, which is adulterated Sattva. We can call it adulterated Sattva because Sattva stands for knowledge. Sattvic aspect stands for knowledge only, and all individuals have only limited imperfect knowledge. From that itself we can find out that we are not purely Sattvic because we all have only limited and imperfect knowledge only. So in other words, it is Malina Sattva Pradhana Maya. The Maya, which is Malina Sattva Pradhana Maya, that alone is responsible for the creation of the Jiva, of the individual. In the same way, the other aspect of Maya is what? Suddha Sattva Pradhana. So as Malina Sattva Pradhana is one, which is Malina Sattvam, adulterated Sattvam, and there is also the Shuddha Sattva Pradhana, and here also the Rajas and Tamas aspects exist, but without any effect on them. It is not that they are not there. In the other case, they exist, but they have a profound effect on sattvic aspect. Whereas that's why it's called Malina Sattvam. Here in this case, they exist here. In the Shuddha Sattva aspect, they Rajas and Tamas also exist, but they have no effect on sattvic aspect. But both the Mayas are inert only in nature. Maya is inert, that we have seen earlier. Maya, both the Mayas, whether it is Malina Sattva Pradhana Maya or Shuddha Sattva Pradhana Maya, both are only, they are only inert in nature. But we, as living entities, people who are all living, you know, who are all the jivas and all the sentient beings, we have consciousness. We all have consciousness. And where does this consciousness come from? That question also we should ask. Because even though Maya is inert, we said already, and Maya is the both aspects of Maya, that's all inert in nature. But as sentient beings, as living entities, where the consciousness that we have, where does that come from? And here only the author brings out the concept of Brahman, which is the all-pervading consciousness, the principle of Chaitanyam, which gets manifested or reflected in the Jiva. This is the Chaitanyam which gets manifested or reflected in the Jiva, which is given in the shloka as Brahma Pratibimbam. When we read here, Stula Sharirabhimani Jiva Namakam Brahma Pratibimbam Bhavati. That Brahma Pratibimbam, we are trying to explain that term, that is reflected in avidya. We already told earlier, avidya, so this causal body, this avidya, so for the sake of our discussion here, we will use avidya as impure maya. Because originally we already went through that discussion, why it is called avidya, we gave the name avidya there. So avidya as impure maya and maya as pure maya. So we can, because we are trying to use the same word, we can call avidya as impure maya, and Maya itself as pure Maya, we can use for our discussions. So consciousness reflected in avidya, that is called Jiva. The consciousness, the Chaitanyam, reflected, the Brahman or consciousness, Chaitanyam, reflected in avidya, that is called Jivaha. So the Jiva has the problem of ignorance, because reflected in what? Avidya. So, it has the problem of ignorance. That is, the Jiva does not know that he, she is the actual Chaitanyam. and because does not know, because of the ignorance, he, she identifies with the shariras, the body, because the sattva guna is malina sattvam. If the sattva guna is pure sattvam, the jiva will not identify oneself with the body. Because it is malina sattvam, the jiva tries to identify oneself with the body. But if you take the case of Ishvara, Ishvara has no such problem because it is Suddha Sattva Pradhana. So Jiva is Malina Sattva Pradhana, Avidya, and Ishvara is Suddha Sattva Pradhana. So Ishvara is Sarvajnaha, the all-knower, Sarva Shaktiman, the person who has got all the energy, all the Sakti. While the Jiva is Alpajnaha, he has only limited knowledge. Yes, yes, Avidya. He has only limited knowledge, and Alpa Shaktiman has only limited capabilities. But the difference between the Jiva and Ishvara is not original. Why? Because both are only consciousness. Whether it is Jiva or Ishvara, both are only conscious principle. Because, but it is only the reflecting medium. For example, the same object, if you take, it appears clear in a pure mirror. If you take a mirror, the same objects appear clear in a pure mirror, but appears as dirty in a dirty mirror. The same consciousness only. When it is in the medium of Jiva, that has Malina Sattvam, Avidya, so it has that kind of consciousness, it has that kind of reflection, whereas the same thing in Ishvara, it is Suddha Sattvam, Suddha Sattva Prasana, Pradhana, that it is pure. So the author defines Ishvara as the pure Chaitanyam, Sarvagada Chaitanyam or Bimba Chaitanyam. Bimba Chaitanyam is the original Chaitanyam, the original image, which is Satchidananda Swarupaha and a reflecting medium. So the reflecting medium or Upadhi, the reflecting medium, the technical term for that is Upadhi. Here is the Maya or the factor associated with Ishvara, the Shuddha Sattva Pradhana Maya. The Shuddha Sattva Pradhana Maya is the reflecting medium in case of Ishvara, whereas the Malina Sattva Pradhana Maya is the reflecting medium in the case of the Jiva. So the Jiva is composed of the Pratibimba Chaitanyam or the reflected image or the manifested form of Bimba Chaitanyam and a reflecting medium, which is Avidya. So we already went through this discussion of Malina Sattvam and, you know, the Maya and that portion of Maya which gave rise to the Sushma Shariram called the Karana Shariram. We call that by another name, Avidya, all that thing we did. So if you want to now put it in a concise form, Ishvara is reflected consciousness plus Maya medium. We already said Maya here means the pure, you know, Shuddha Sattvam, Pradhana. And Jiva is reflected consciousness plus Avidya medium or Malina Sattva. So Jiva and Ishvara, both are reflected consciousness only, plus only the medium is different. In one case it is Maya medium, in the other case it is Avidya medium. So if you put it differently, Ishvara minus Maya is Brahman. If you take the component of Maya from Ishvara, it is Brahman. And if you take the component of Avidya from Jiva, it is Brahman. So Jiva minus ignorance is Brahman. And Ishvara minus Maya is Brahman. So both are same. So without the medium, the Upadhi, namely Maya or Avidya, the Jiva and Ishvara are identical. And so is referred here as Jiva Ishvara Aikyam. So that is how the author develops the argument, the discussion of pointing out how the Jiva and Ishvara as one. They are one only, substantially, but the reflecting medium being different, they look different. Jiva minus Avidya medium is Brahman, and the same way, Ishvara minus Maya medium is Brahman. We have to understand Maya and Avidya qualified. Maya is Shuddha Sattva Pradhana, and Avidya is Malina Sattva Pradhana. So again, we should again remember that the medium in the case of Ishvara is Samashti, the total. because we are talking about Ishvara. So the medium is samashti and is vyashti in the case of the individual. When we talk about the individual jiva, it is vyashti, the individual, whereas when we talk about Ishvara, it is the total. So the samashti upadhi is unsullied in nature, and so Ishvara has control over maya. The samashti upadhi is unsullied, whereas for the individual upadhi, we said malinasattvam. So individual upadhi is sullied, whereas the samashti upadhi is unsullied, and so Ishvara, samashti upadhi means the upadhi medium is Ishvara, Ishvara has control over maya. Whereas the vyashti upadhi has rajasic and tamasic aspects, because it is malinasattvam. We have to again remember all the arguments. In the Shuddha Sattva Pradhana, even though rajasic and tamasic aspects are there, they have no control on the sattvic aspect. Whereas in the case of Malinasattvam, the rajasic and tamasic aspect, they have control. They are predominant. And so Jiva has no control over Maya. Ishvara has control over Maya. Jiva has no control over Maya. So with the introduction of a reflecting medium, it is clear that the Pradibimba Chaitanya, the reflected consciousness, may not have all the qualities of the Bimba Chaitanya, the original image, since the impurities or ignorance of the medium cannot reveal the true nature of Brahman or the Sarvagata Chaitanya. The original image cannot be revealed at all because of the impurities present there. So with the above discussion in mind, if you now look at the slokas given above, what we said now? Sthula sharirabhimani jivanamakam brahma pratibimbam bhavati. That is jivaha, who identifies with the sthula shariram, the grass body, is the pratibimbam or reflection. Only reflection. So if it is a reflection, then what is the medium of reflection? As we said earlier, it is avidya. And so we have to add here, avidyayam to brahma pratibimbam bhavati. We should add that. So, sayeva jivaha prakritya swasmat ishwaram binnatvena janati. That very entity is jiva, which by nature, it understands Ishvara as different from itself. Because of avidya. Because of the avidya, this jiva thinks that the Ishvara is different from himself or herself. Sayeva jivaha prakritya swasmat ishwaram binnatvena janati. But really speaking, what is the condition? What is the jiva? Avidyopadisanne atma jiva iti uchyate. It is atma eva. It is only atma only, but reflected in the mirror of avidya. Avidyopadisanne. Because it is atma only, but because it is reflected in the medium of avidya, its own nature is not understood, is not known. Similarly, mayopadisan ishvaraha iti uchyate. Again, we have to add mayopadisan atma ishvara iti uchyate. Atma, there we added jiva, here it is atma jiva. So because of the reflecting medium of maya, atman, the pure chaitanyam, is called ishvara. Pure Chaitanya is called Ishvara, and there it is called Jivaha. So the author, now he writes, evam upadhi bedat jiva Ishvara beda drishtihi yavat pariyantam tishtati tavat pariyantam janana janma maranadi rupa samsaraha na nivartate. So categorically Acharya says, evam upadhi bedat jiva Ishvara beda drishtihi yavat paryantam tishtati, tavat paryantam janma maranadi rupa samsaraha na nivartate. So long as the notion that the jiva and Ishvara are different, which is due to the differences in the medium only, so long as that notion remains, until then there is no relief from samsara at all, which is of the form of repeated birth and death. So this janana marana cycle will keep on continuing as long as one does not understand that the differences between jiva and Ishvara is due to only the medium and not due to the substance. Substantially, both are only pure consciousness. But because of the reflecting medium, they appear to be different. So, yavat paryantam, as long as they are there, yavat paryantam, jiva ishvara beda drishtihi, the vision, the drishti, the vision of difference, beda drishti between jiva and ishvara, as long as they are, caused by what? Avidyobe, the upadi beda tishtati, remains merely due to the difference in the reflecting medium, as long as this remains, because which is based on the reflecting medium, tavat paryantam, so long, samsaraha na nivartate, problems of samsara will never leave, will never go away. And what is the name of this nature of samsara? Janma maranadi rupaha, birth and dust, death, they are associated years. Tasmat karanat na jiva ishvarayoho beda buddhihi swikarya. For that reason, the notion that jiva is different from Ishvara should not be accepted at all. Tasmat karanat, for that reason. Jiva Ishvara Ishvarayor Beda Buddhihi. The notion of difference between jiva and Ishvara. The Beda, difference between jiva and Ishvara, na svikarya, one should not accept at all. So that is what the author concludes. Then, having gone through the Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, then the Mahavakyam discussion, namely Tattvamasi discussion, is going to come in the next discussion, which we will see in the next webinar. Now we can open up for discussion now.